a broken-hearted mother at his feet. The pain of it all for me. The earth shakes. Darkness falls. The Father hides his face. His body hits the door of a borrowed grave. You paid it all for me, for me. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the cross. My victory, bursting from the grave, my risen King. The sacrifice for love was hell's defeat. Yeah! You won it all for me, for me. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you. For the Father, for the Son, for the power of your love, for the Spirit that's in us, for the blood that overcomes, for your life, for your death, for the hope that's still ahead, we sing a thank you. A thank for the Father, for the Son, for the power of your love, for the Spirit that's in us, for the blood that overcomes, for your life, for your death, for the hope that's still ahead. We sing thank you, thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough. Like your love, a thousand songs are not enough. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the cross.
Well, good morning. Happy Easter! Welcome. We are delighted you're here with us at Halpena Beach Church. As we gather here, this is what we call like a no judgment zone. It's okay not to be okay. It's okay to worship in a way that it's meaningful for you to connect. If you do feel a need to dance, go to the aisles, please. Your neighbors will appreciate that. But it's great to have you here. We love to just say welcome, and this is like welcome home. If this is you don't have a church home, or you're on vacation, you want a church home away from home, we say welcome. We're your family, and we want to honor and treat you like such. We really believe you're a gift from God, and God has brought here whether you're in person or joining us online through Facebook or hopeonthebeach.com page. We'd love to be able to recognize your presence with us. So in your worship folder, there's a connection card that looks something like this. If you'd be so kind to fill it out, we'd love to recognize your presence. And also, man, if there's a prayer request that you're coming in that's heavy on you, that's been on your heart and mind, please fill it out. We'd love to pray for you and pray with you. It's one of the things that it's a privilege that we get to do as a church body as we pray for the needs of those around us. Well, it's Easter. I don't have to tell you that. And I have to tell you the good news that's coming up. So why don't we rise so we can begin our service together? If you want to follow along that worship folder and open up our call to worship as we begin worship together, as we honor the presence of Jesus together in our midst, we say something very simple. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia! All right, let's get praying.
We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be.
Yeah.
He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes the way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away.
Hallelujah!
Well, there's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise. Oh, 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 we shout out your praise. Oh, 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 'cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Hallelujah!
We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. 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 Can I get a hallelujah? He is risen. Well, I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. But you came along. Burning back together. Every desire is my soul is right. Here we are. Oh, nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Show you my weakness. Families and lives, you see me all. You still call me friend.
I'm a friend.
Yeah. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. Oh, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
Oh,
there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Hallelujah!
Lord, there's nothing better than you.
Lord, there's
nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Heavenly Father, that is something we can sing, but sometimes hard for us to live. Because there's so much around us that calls for our attention and devotion. So God, lead us now. May that your Spirit of the risen Lord, your presence here, your word, your living word, really truly dwell in us, that we treasure it more than anything else, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. some of you walked in here today carrying more than you expected. More than just a chair. It's not on the outside, but it's on the inside. It's fatigue. It's disappointment. That quiet sense that something in life isn't delivering the way you thought it would. And if you're honest, you've been trying to make it work, hoping maybe this time would be different. But here's the tension. Deep down, inside, you already know some of the things we keep going back to don't actually give life. And that's why we're here. And that's where Easter comes and meets us. Easter's not a suggestion. It's not an inspiration. But with a question that cuts right through us. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Because if Jesus really rose from the dead, then this isn't just comforting, it's confronting. I mean, some of the places that we're looking for life are already dead. And it means real life is found somewhere else. So let's listen in to what happened that first Easter morning. You can look in your notes as we read according to Luke. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went in the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found a stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day. Rise." And on the third day, rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told them these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping, looking in. He saw the linen cloth by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. What do you notice? Number one, exhausted, but still attached. They were exhausted, but still attached. But it was the first day of the week. At early dawn, they went to the tomb carrying spices. Understand this. They loved Jesus. But they were not expecting him to be alive. They had heard him speak and say that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be killed on the third day, be raised. They heard these words of Jesus. But they didn't trust his words. They didn't believe his words. And so they brought spices. And if we're honest, that's not just their story, it's ours. We are exhausted, not exhausted for being busy, but exhausted. And what does that exhaustion do? That it turns into something, not just tiredness, but a quiet disappointment. Not loud, not dramatic, just a steady undercurrent, undertow that says, I thought life would feel different now. We thought life would have less noise, less outrage, less pressure to keep up, less of that constant feeling that life should be better than it is. And for some, this exhaustion has been building up for years. Not just from the culture, but from life. There's been disappointments. Things didn't turn out the way you thought or hoped. Losses that you didn't plan on. Prayers that you felt went unanswered. I mean, you could spend your whole life climbing a ladder and still wonder at the top, is this it? And yet, we're still attached. And we still go back just in case, thinking maybe it'll work this time. Maybe eventually it will come like I think it will. So let me say this carefully. Some of the things we go back to, some of the things that we're still attached to, don't even look like sin. They look responsible. They look successful. They even look spiritual. But if they are where you're looking for life, they still leave you empty. You can build a great career, but still feel hollow. You can raise a good family and still feel restless. You can serve in a church and still feel spiritually dry. Because none of these things were meant to be a source of life. So let me press in a little. Not to shame you, but to wake you up. What is the thing you already know that doesn't give you life, but you keep going back to anyway? It's like that drawer in the house. You know the one. The junk drawer. We all got it. It's open. You open it and it's full of cords. Chargers from phones that you don't even own anymore. Some of them go way back to the flip phone. And some are like, I still have one of those just in case. None of them work, but you don't throw them away. Why? Because somewhere in the back of your mind says, maybe this one still works. And so you try again. You twist it. You hold it at an angle. You hold your breath. Because somehow that affects it. And for like a second, you see the light. And it's like, oh, it's charging. See, I knew it. I knew it. It would work. It works. And then it dies again. And whether you're 25 or 75, That's what we do spiritually. We keep plugging into things that already proven that it cannot give life. And what is crazier is that we don't abandon these things, these dead things. We revisit them. We manage them. We organize them. We even label them. Like somehow better organization will bring them back to life. See, number two, we know it's dead, but we keep going back. Jesus once said to a man who had everything life could offer, he had it all. And Luke 18 records it. And Jesus says, the one thing you still lack, sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you will have the treasures in heaven, and come follow me. And the young rich ruler couldn't do it. And the scripture says that he left Jesus sad and returned to his life. See, we don't just return to our normal life. That doesn't work. We return to what we wish would work. We are so desperately want the world to work because if the world works and these things of the world works for me, well, that puts me in charge. That gives me control, independence. It lets me be God. So you can do you. But don't miss this. That's the moment. Not when life is obviously broken, but when life looks full and it isn't. That is the exact moment when you're tired and still attached to what doesn't work, where God speaks. Not to shame, not to crush, but to wake us up. And he says, why do you seek the living among the dead? See, that question assumes two things. One, you're searching for life. And two, you're looking in the wrong places. And that's been the human struggle for ages. Even the Old Testament, Jeremiah, the prophet of God, speaks God's words to the people. He says, for my people, this is God's heart wrenching, have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. They left him, the fountain of living waters, God who is abundant with life, pouring it out for them, who has saved them, loved them, rescued them. And what have they done? They've hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They exchanged a fountain of life, of ever-ending water, for something they could create and try to hold and control, but it was broken and didn't work. The Apostle Paul says this in Romans. He says, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. And this is why in life is such a struggle. There's this tension in us. Because the tension in us is pointing to the fact that we know it's empty. But we keep going back. Approval didn't satisfy. But we check it again. Let's just keep scrolling and maybe it will happen. Success didn't secure us. But we chase more. The next level. We got more. It would feel better. Comfort didn't heal us. But we double down. I mean, it's the American answer. It's more. It's bigger. It's better. It's faster. It will work this time. We promise. And that's why, when we're honest, we realize we keep going back. And we're still thinking, maybe this time it will work. And the world is exhausted because it keeps trying to get life out of things that are already dead. And here's what's extraordinary. God doesn't ignore it. He doesn't say, well, too bad for you. He confronts it. Number three, it's the divine confrontation. I mean, the angels don't say, hey, we understand you're just confused. You're just sad. And when you're confused or sad, it's okay because you just make bad choices and you go to the wrong places. You're just emotional right now. When you get through your emotions, you'll get to the truth. You'll figure it out. No, they don't say that. They say, why? Why are you looking for life in a graveyard? And while that might sound cruel and judgmental, it's really mercy. Because burnout's not random. Burnout is what happens when you try to get life out of something that is cannot give life, that's dead. See, we don't just sin by doing wrong things. We sin by trusting wrong things. By asking created things to give us what only the Creator can give. In fact, Luther would say, anything you look for life apart from Christ, that's your God. And it can't save you. But notice what the angels do. They go to the good news. They don't leave you there, because the Word of God, the message of God, doesn't leave you where you're at. It points you to who can save. Number four, He is not here. He is risen. This is not just some exciting feeling or perspective. This is a fact. Paul writes about it. He says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still stuck in your sins. I mean, you're dead in your sins, and you're going to stay dead if He didn't raise. However, he continues, says, but, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That but changes everything. Paul says, it's He who has delivered us up from our trespasses and raised for our justification. See, the tomb is empty whether you believe it or not. But if it's empty, everything changes. The resurrection of God is God's, the resurrection of Jesus is God's verdict. This is, while you are guilty, He declares to you, your sin and punishment are paid in full. Your sins are forgiven. Death is defeated. See, the same resurrection that confronts your pride also carries your forgiveness. And that changes how you live. To not a halfway, not a partial, but a completely heart for God. Number five, see, the resurrection frees us from half-hearted faith. Half-hearted faith. See, they remembered the words. They remembered the words of Jesus. That was the turning point. Not the empty tomb alone. That evidence was great, but it was the words of Jesus that changed their life. And in that moment, they trusted. They believe and they trusted what He said. The Hebrew writer later reads about this response to God's word and His word of certainty. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us all say lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The church, in view of such great testimony, witness, and the promises of the Word of God being fulfilled, said, "Man, throw the dead stuff away. This is where life is." And they were moved by faith to pursue it. See, you cannot cling to dead things and then run the race of faith. You can't do both. But modern Christianity sure tries. Just in case this really works this time. Just in case that promise that it looks so good, it really happens for me. Just in case all this stuff that Jesus says doesn't really work. Just in case, because I think this might be quicker and better. And what do we end up doing when we're trying to play this game? We end up putting the weight of sin back on our shoulders. The weight that Jesus took off. And we're wondering why life's not getting better. See, the resurrection of Jesus, it freed you to seek greater things. You've been freed to seek greater things. You've been freed from this weight. You've been freed from this desire that always goes chasing after what is dead. See, when the love of God and His Word comes into your heart, that Spirit, it loosens the grip of the world on us and our grip of the world and our appetite for dead things. And it opens us to Christ. Paul says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." You're no longer stuck managing life. No longer are you in this little hamster wheel of, next thing, the next thing will work, and just running and wearing yourself out in your soul. You are free to live in Christ. So much of us is like someone who's been sleeping in a broken home. I mean, the house is just a mess. They've been given a new home. It's already theirs. But they keep going back to the old house, checking out the old place, sitting in the old broken chair, living like nothing's changed. And what Easter says is you have a new address. Stop going back. You have a new family. You have a new home. You don't have to go back. In fact, number 6, Jesus did not rise to be your backup plan. He rose to be your Lord. See, the resurrection is just not one of the many options to consider. That's why it confronts us. That's why Easter is offensive. Because it's not a suggestion. It's not one of many, but it is an announcement that this is the Lord. This is your Creator. This is the one who we worship and find life in. This is not the one we pull out in just a case of an emergency. Crack it open, just in case. You got nothing else works. Jesus said to them, "No one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Before you recoil on that statement, let me explain a little bit. What good parent who has saved their child from a near-death experience, like a child who's been swimming in the Gulf and stuck in the undertow and was being pulled out, and then rescued that child, and then they come to the beach again and they go, "Just do what you want." No good parent will let their child just go out by themselves and put themselves in jeopardy again. This is what Jesus is doing. He's not just protecting you physically. He's not just protecting you emotionally. He is protecting you spiritually. Saying, look, there is no other way. They all lead to death. In fact, the places you keep returning that promise that freedom, that relief, what Jesus is warning you about is they can't deliver. And not only can I not deliver, but they will start to require of you to serve them. The thing that you go to that you think will serve you will eventually not be able to provide the life it wants, and it will demand your life. This is why Jesus says, seek his kingdom, number 7, not the grief. Seek the kingdom, not the grief. Because all these other things lead to death. Peter, who didn't believe, runs to the tomb. He looks in. He sees the linen cloth. He marvels at it. He marvels. He's astonished. Jesus said what he said he would do. But he's kind of stuck there and he just goes home. What do we marvel at? Rocket going into space? Some college basketball highlights? I think we marvel at stuff and we say, man, how does that work? How does that happen? It's pretty amazing. It's kind of beyond us. And we kind of say, that happens, it's real, but it never happens to me. So we kind of marvel at it from a distance. And I think that's how we sometimes treat Easter, the resurrection. Even God's word of promise. Well, it's true. As believers, we say it's true, it's amazing. We believe it. We just have trouble believing it's for me. It's like just beyond me. We might marvel at it, but we don't truly embrace it. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's doubt. Perhaps it's shame. And like Peter, we see it, we hear it, and we just go home. We just go back. But Jesus didn't leave Peter there. He doesn't leave you there. And he keeps coming to us. Again and again and again. He keeps forgiving us. What does he tell Peter? Peter, you love me? Yeah. Well, then feed my sheep. Stop marveling. Stop not believing. Start believing. See, Jesus intervenes again and again to wake us up to say, move away from the dull, dead ways. Trust me. Believe me. Rest in me. Jesus said in Matthew 6, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We stepped out of ministry. God called us to step out of our church that we loved because he said, you know, I want us to plant another church. But that other church wasn't there yet. And I can tell you from a worldly perspective, it made no sense. It was a great church, great people. And then we didn't have jobs. We had to go scounder some jobs, and we were making tons less and just struggling. And Christy, we were in Michigan, and Christy's mom from Florida came up to check on us. And she said, man, she saw how we were struggling. She goes, I just want to make you a special meal, kind of comfort, help recenter us a little bit and love on us. But that day it snowed. And she's from Florida, she ain't driving. We're at work. And yet on that day, somebody, God touched. And somebody brought groceries to our door. And they were the exact groceries she wanted for the meal she wanted to cook. And I could tell you tons more about a house, about a church and college. And I'm going to tell you that this word is true. It's just not something to marvel at. See, what God desires you to marvel at is how much His word is not just true, but true for you. That you truly believe, that you trust, and you rest in it. The tomb didn't hold Jesus, and it doesn't hold your life either. Jesus said, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and the grave. Jesus keeps His words. The women remember His words. They trusted His word. And where does that risen Jesus meet us, meet His people? Not in the grave, not in their effort, not in their searching. He meets them right here in His words right now. Jesus is not asking you to go search Him and find Him. He's speaking to you. The same voice, He says, is not here. He is risen, is now calling you. Not to manage your life, not to fix your life, but to trust in Him. Jesus didn't rise. So you go back to your backup plan. He rose to be your Lord. And the Lord speaks. He calls. He forgives and gives life. And today, through His word, He's seeking you to believe in Him, to trust Him, and to rest in Him. You've heard the gospel. Jesus died for your sins. Christ is risen from the dead. Christ is Lord. So Easter is not a feeling we celebrate. It's a victory we live under. And so the question today is not whether you like it or not. The question today is, will you believe? Will you believe in the offering of forgiveness, life, and salvations? So you can either reject it and walk back and keep going back to what does not give life, or by the power of the Holy Spirit today, you can say yes. Yes, I need You. Yes, I trust You. And yes, I believe You have done this for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You have come to us. You're present in Your word. Your Holy Spirit is there, and it is to speak and call to us. And so we are feeling that stirring in our heart. That's not a feeling. That is You that's moving in our hearts already. That's opened our hearts to Your truth so that we could see it. And so, Lord, perhaps we want to have a real tangible connection to this, to where You promise Your life and forgiveness. And that comes in two ways. One, Lord, we turn to You and we just repent. Well, Your promise is there that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, we do that. We repent. We're going to the wrong places and trusting in the wrong things. And we trust that promise is true. And what Jesus has done forgives our sins. The Bible also says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for forgiveness of sins. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism now saves you. For just as in our repentance, God acts, God washes, and God joins you to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Paul says, we were there buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that we might too walk in the newness of life. I mean, if you've never been baptized, Man, I want to invite you to come talk to me. If you're ready to trust in the living one, then come after service. Let's talk and pray and prepare. But if you have been baptized, you don't need to start over. You do. Your baptism counts. You just called to return, to remember who you are and to live in that baptism. That you don't have to search. You've been found. For the Christ is risen. Your sins are forgiven. Your death is defeated. You've been clothed in Christ, the resurrected Christ. And so, God, these things in our hearts and minds that we've been carrying, we also come to you in the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So it's our honor and privilege as we continue our worship of our Lord who gave his all to us, that we have a moment to continue our worship to honor his gift to us. And we can do that with our praises, our services, but also our giving. And so in your worship folder is an offering envelope. There's a QR code, or you can use a text to give. And there's an opportunity that you have to worship, to honor him with our tithes and offerings, and also to support the work of the Word that will continue to go out. For some of you might not, we are here all year round at 8 o'clock, as long as the weather's good. And typically at 9:20 is at Chunk Gully, but it's been here until they are done on their renovations. And also at 11 o'clock, we'd love for you to join us on other occasions. And if you want to learn about hope, I just want to give you encouragement to come to the Lighthouse Dinner that's on April 23rd. Just an opportunity to have some real meaningful conversations and discover what hope is about and how that will help you in your journey. And see if God is calling you to this family, this local family, to live out your faith together with us. So I want to encourage you to look at that next step and consider it. There's lots of opportunities in ministry, especially in small groups and things, but that's the place to start. And we'd love for you to make a start and build a relationship and be able to get connected. Also, our next series you see there will be Discipleship by Design, and just an opportunity to learn. I mean, this is what God's given us. What does it really mean to look like to follow him? So as we continue our worship, as we rise, ushers will come around, and you're welcome to put your connection card and your offering envelope in the bucket. So let us rise and praise the Lord.
Came sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. The rescue for sinners, hallelujah. The ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, His blood the wine, the broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled, and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah.
Yeah.
Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
We proclaim this.
All our hope is in you. All our hope is in you, Lord. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer. Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Oh, the Lord of all.
We have a tradition, we just put our hands like this and receive the blessing. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you, be gracious to you. May He look upon you with His favor and give you His peace. And all God's people say,
Amen.
So two announcements. If you took a chair, just leave the chair where it's at, where you sat it. And also, our team has put about 1,000 shells on this beach that have little messages on them. You're welcome to find one and take one. God bless. If you'd like to pray or would like to talk, I'm up here.